You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Happy Tuesday. So glad you guys are on this evening. We have some real things that we need to talk about. You know, we've talked about many things in the past. We've talked about domestic violence. We've talked about, you know, the DHS, Cooler Kids, DIFAS, all of that good stuff. We've talked about these programs that these kids go into and the mental trauma that stems from all of that later on in life. But we really never got down to talking about something that is really real. Like really, really real, that we need to pay close attention to. Our focus needs to be on suicide and suicide prevention. You know, this is a really broad topic because a lot of people today don't believe that suicide is real. You know, it's some people that want to point the finger, blame the other person, blame the person that has actually committed suicide, blame the person that has attempted to commit suicide. You know, no one pays real close attention to the callings of what a person may be going through that leads them to the ultimate, and that is ending it for themselves. Sometimes you have murder-suicide, where they want to end everybody else and end themselves as well. So this is a very big topic, you know, and shout out to a friend of mine, Deborah Antony. You guys might know her as Waka Flocka's mom. Very, very good friend of mine, Aunt Deb. And, you know, she started this coalition of RIP. And people, you know, usually say it's rest in peace. But she started this campaign of reckless internet postings because a lot had to do with her son committing suicide, you know, and so many other celebrities who have lost their children to suicide due to depression, some things that parents don't really pick up on. You know, one minute the kid is happy, you think they're happy, and really inside they're suffering from a bitter bowl of depression that goes unforeseen. And I thought it would be good for a dad to come on today, you know, to talk about some of the things, you know, leading up to suicide of the teenagers and adults today, because this is something that no one is exempt from. It could take one small thing to trigger the mental capacity of a person to say, I'm done here. And you just never know what it takes for a person to snap into a depression and wanting to end it all. A lot of parents don't pay close attention to the child's cry out for help. You know, they feel like it's more about them and not the child. Parents need to take a good look at the company sometimes the children or adults are surrounded with. If you're putting your family members, your children, your brother, your sister, your cousins in vulnerable situations, such as, I'll tell you this, things I've never wanted for my children, that I've never put my children in, is like being around people who use paraphernalia and drugs. You know, it's very sad when you have to surround your children or your loved ones with this criteria of people that you feel is like good company. And you don't know the danger that you're putting your kid or your loved ones in by having these toxic people around where they have to absorb that negative energy and sit back and say, is this what life has to offer? You know, and parents should want to offer their children a little bit better than what they had growing up. It's just a hard thing to bear sometimes when you see these subjects around these specific targets. It's kind of hard to swallow, you know, when you see these things. We have a caller on. Hey, caller, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hello? I'm doing well.
I'm good. How are you, caller? Mr. CB?
Yeah, CB. What's going on?
I wanted to talk to you a little bit because, you know, we've talked in depth about, you know, teenage suicide and how real it is. And tell me a little bit about you being a father, a dad, you know, raising teenage boys. What was that like? And, you know, in this day and age, because it's kind of difficult nowadays with these teenagers.
Well, you know, me, I got three boys. So each one is different. So you really got to get in their life in order to know what's going on with them. You know, you got to know who they're around. You got to know what they're thinking. You know, it's a lot of things you have to do with boys because they're different from girls. Because they need, like, leaders and someone to look up to. So
what,
you just have
what
to...
What happens if they don't have a dad that's a leader? What do you think could be the outcome of that?
Well, you know the outcome. If they don't have people around them showing what to do, they can wind up in prison, on the streets, or dead. That's the three things that can happen. Because the streets will take them. You know, if you're not there with your boys, you know, there's plenty of guys out here that will take them under their wing and show them all the wrong things to do. And that's mainly what happens to a lot of youth out here. They go to the wrong people.
And well, let me ask
they teach them the wrong things.
Let me ask you, do you think it's healthy for a boy child to see toxic relationships between the mother and the father? Like, wouldn't you think that would lead something towards a downward in their behavior?
Well, it got a lot to do with their behavior, but it doesn't, you know, totally take over how they think, because, you know, it's just a thing that's going on with the parents. And the kid just looking at it, you know, he's just going to look at it as something that's, you know, big, or it's just going to be something that's just happening. You know, it depends on the child, how they, you know, intake. So, you know, it depends how they take it in. They could take it the wrong way or take it, you know, another way or just ignore it. So, I mean, it can, you know, play a factor as far as the way they develop. If it's young, and they're arguing, they might not pay no attention. But as they get older, it might be like, oh, man, he at it again. You know, some kids is different. Like my son, he might see me arguing with his mother. And he just be like, oh, man, y'all at it again. And, you know, he don't look at it like a big thing, you know. Now, my other son, my older son, he used to be like, oh, my God, it's affecting him a lot. So he didn't like it. So every child has a different way of acting out when they hear these arguments.
So what about if there's parents in the household and the mother's drug addicted and the father's, you know, off on a psychological rant where he's, you know, mentally unstable? You think that could pose a threat to the young man that he has to set an example for?
Yeah, because see, if you got a parent that's on drugs, it's just all kind of negativity going on. It's no way like the kid is going to develop, and he's just going to be lost, and he's going to just get with negative people, and then it's going to be a big problem for you in the end. So it's like, if the parents on drugs, and the kid just is around it, he's not going to really develop well. He's going to have a lot of resentment. He's going to have a lot of problems psychologically himself. And, it's just going to be a bad situation, especially if there's nobody there to help the kid in life, like a mentor. If he has nobody else but them, and he's constantly listening to this, and they're beating him and drilling him and telling him this and telling him that, telling him he's no good and telling him he's never going to be nothing, and he's never going, develop into a good child. He's going to be a bad child. Or he's going to be depressed all the time.
So you believe that if a parent actually kills a kid's self-esteem, and that's kind of hard to swallow because, being a parent, telling your child you're never going to amount to anything, I mean, does that sound politically correct? To like, would that be like a form of mental abuse on a child?
Yeah, some people, they do that. Some parents, they especially, like when there's problems in the household, it's just, a bad situation as far as, people just getting along with each other and just communication. Dysfunctional families just tear things apart. So some people beat their kids up, like mentally. They just keep crying to them. And I don't understand it. I try to understand it, but I really can't understand why people do that. But they do it. And you walk around and you see it every day, walking up and down the streets. Oh, you dummy, you stupid, this and that. And the kid just sitting there being a kid. He don't know what he's doing sometimes. He being a kid. So, it's kind of bad in a sense, the kid just, going to develop what, he might just take it in as just, oh, well, she just venting. Or he just venting, but if he's not praising the kid and giving him good, saying good things to him, like you did good, congratulations, I'm proud of you, things of that nature, then, the kid just don't develop right. And then you might wind up having an inmate instead of a child later on in life, or you might go kill somebody or hurt somebody. And he'd be like, I don't know why he did that. But deep down inside, you know why he did that. Because he might have lashed out on someone else because of all the abuse that he was taking in.
So do you think that a kid, let's say, between the ages of 12 and 17, can really handle any type of mental abuse from their parents?
Well, it depends on the child. Like, if he's psychologically strong, then yes. But if he's not, if he's weak, then no. He's just going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to go do something. He might break the house up. He might start burning stuff, set stuff on fire just to get attention. You never know. Because each person is different. So one child might take it one way and do something, and another child might do something another way. They all different. I got kids, so they react differently. They might yell and scream. They might curse. They might break something. They might, it depends on the child. How they take it in and respond.
One child may take abuse a lot different than the other child, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Even with physical abuse, they might just suck it up and say, oh, well, Like when we were kids, we get beaten and that's it. You just go on about your business. Like, wow, man, I can't believe that just happened to me, but you'll know not to do it again. These kids these days, they'll call the cops on you and you'll be in jail.
So what do you think about parents that are married? You know, the mother, the biological, the father, the biological, and they have children and they're in a toxic marriage. Do you think that has some effect on the children and their personalities?
Yeah, it does. But it's kind of different when it's, a family set because, they have more time around the child. And the child either going to develop traits of the mother or traits of the father. It's kind of rare that they get traits of both parents, but they're going to tend to go to one side or the other. Like, if it's a daughter, she's going to side with the mother. And if it's a son, he's going to side with the father. So it's going to be like, he might be in it getting bashed around and stuff, but, he's going to pretty much develop some kind of coping skills with what's going on with them. If it's a set like that, like other than two parents that are just together and they just got kids, and or a boyfriend and a mother, the kid's not there, so it's gonna be kind of different. But when it's that kind of set, when it's like family oriented, it could be different for the child. He might just side with the mother, or she might side with the mother, or he might side with the father. So psychologically, he's not going to be, I don't think, too bad off. It depends on what kind of abuse is going on with them.
So would this be considered a weak man if he says, I realize that my wife is a toxic person, making my children feel like they're the lowest scum of the earth, but I'm going to stay in this marriage because I'm doing it for my kid. Would that make him a weak man?
Well, is he doing it? He loves his kids. No, I don't think so. Because some people is really like into their children. They want to see them do good, and they don't want to see them, later on in life, maybe, I mean, what's going on between them? That's between them. So he don't want to hurt his kids. He want them to see that, a good, maybe he came from a good family or a mother and father that was together for many years, maybe till they both passed away. And then he wants to see this for his children. He's like, yeah, well, I'm gonna imitate what happened with my mom and dad. Or maybe that's in his genes. You never know. Genetically, it could be a person that's like that. So they don't care about the marriage. They like, oh, well, I'm gonna just go on and keep, just get life, try to make the best life possible for the children.
But what if he's never had that and he's just, heartbroken and thinking about, I gotta be here because all she's gonna do is abuse them? What happens when a guy still stays and at the end he may be in a position to do bodily harm to the wife? Because a lot of times that happens. They get so fed up that they can't take the abuse anymore themselves. And they start to
Could you
resent.
repeat that question?
What happens if the guy never had a family life and he's just sticking it out because he's thinking he could actually heal the person he's with? Like, what happens,
Oh,
in those type of situations? Like,
if the
sometimes the guy
guy.
rebels and he kills the whole family.
Right. Yeah, well, maybe that could happen. I mean, it's up to the individual. So I wouldn't say that. I mean, if that does happen, it could happen. A guy could go crazy and go ballistic, just take it out and just mess everything up. Yeah. And mess everybody up.
Because what if he's already showing signs? What if he's already showing signs of anger, busting holes in the walls, kicking in doors? Like, wouldn't that be like the first sign of this guy's almost fed up?
Yeah, true. Yeah, that could happen. Yeah, it's a sign. Signs are there, like when people start, you know, lashing out. And you just got to look at them like, man, something really disturbing this person. You know, something really needs somebody, you know, somebody need to go talk to them. Try to, you know, see what's going on in their mind or, you know, get them away from the other person so nothing really bad doesn't happen. You know, so that's probably the best thing for, you know, a person that gets in that type of situation.
Because you're a parent. And what if your kid ever said, Dad, I mean, yelling at the top of their lungs, what if your kid ever said, Dad, I hate you? Like what would that mean to you in your mind?
Well, I mean, I never had that happen, but if it did happen, I mean, you would probably be like, man, what's going on with this child? Like, why are they talking to me like this? You know, what did I do to him? Or, you know, what didn't I do for him? You know, you got to ask yourself a lot of questions. When you got a child, you're like, oh, man, like, something ain't right. You know, you really got to try to get in their mind and see what's going on because you don't know why they're talking to you like this. You know, or you could just be like, if you a bully, you just be like, I don't care what you say. I'm the dad, you know, you listen to me. You can hate what you want. If you're an abusive person, you might beat the kid up. But if you're a person that know how to deal with a child, you're going to try to find out what's going on in the child's mind so you can correct them.
What if you're a parent that wants to be more of a friend and not a parent? What kind of effect do you think that has on a child?
Yeah, well, you cannot be too much of a friend to a child. So you got to let them know who's in charge. You got to let them know who the parent is. You know, hey, you got to draw the line. You know, you can have some fun and play some games, but hey, everything ain't fun and games because the real world is going to be out there and waiting for them. So you got to let them know this ain't no game. You know, this is what can happen to you. You know, I'm your parent. Not I got to tell you right from wrong. Not you tell me right from wrong. We both kicking it, you know, getting high together and all this. You're not going to respect me. So I need respect from this child because I got to clothe this kid, you know, provide for this kid, you know, whatever way I can, and let them know that I'm there for them, not bust it up with them every day like we homies. It's a line that got to be drawn. You know, you got to let them know who the parent is. And then after you teach them that, regardless of the way they feel about it, you know, they'll respect you. But if you don't set down your foot, you're not going to get no respect from no child.
So
as
a parent wanting to be, like, you know, down to earth, because, for instance, my kid doesn't like to ride with me because I don't listen to the ghetto rap. Like, does that make me a parent that's not cool?
Well, I mean, it's different levels of cool with kids. Like, you know, you got your, like, I guess you could call me an 80s kid. And I was born in the 60s or the 70s. So you got your different levels. You got your 90s kids, your 2000, and your millennium kids. So being cool is just could be just listening to their music or going out with them, you know, going to a show, you know, or, you know, just kicking a rap to them. You know, you might be corny or something, but, you know, you got to be on different levels of cool. Some people not like that. They just, you know, straight, you know, parents. They don't got that in them. They ain't trying to be cool. But, you know, you got to have some kind of personality to bust it up with your child sometimes and make them feel comfortable and let them know that you understand them and their life they living.
What about smoking marijuana in front of my kids? You know, like what kind of structure am I setting letting my kids see me smoke marijuana?
Well, hey, all everybody smoke marijuana once or twice in their life. I can't. I mean, that one's a little touchy because nowadays marijuana is legal, so it's not even like a big thing anymore. Now, if you're sitting there smoking crack cocaine or smoking dope in front of them, then I got something to say to you then. Like, you got a problem. But as far as something like that, that's just a social drug now. And if the person has, like, some kind of depression or something like that, then, hey, you know, we don't know. Medically, they might need it. You know what I mean? They could be, you know, there's a lot of people running around here that ain't mentally stable. So they might have to smoke some weed here and there. You know what I mean? They might have to smoke a joint. You'd be like, man, they cool now. They smoke some joint. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got to look at it, you know, from different perspectives. Like, hey, man, like, I don't want my kids smoking joint. You know what I mean? But if something wrong with him and he needs some kind of something to calm him down, hey, you know, hey, we don't know. You got to leave that in, you know, in God's hands, the medical, the doctors and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That is very true. Well, CB, I'd like to thank you for coming on today and we look forward to talking to you sometime in the future.
Definite.
All right, and you have a great night.
Definitely a pleasure. All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Guys, I've never tried marijuana before. Never even wanted to try it. And for sure, with medical marijuana going on, you know, today it's a free thing. It's legal. It's as long as you got your marijuana card, you can smoke as much as you want. Be free. You know, the land of the free. No, that wouldn't be my life. No drugs allowed. The most of drugs that I've used in my life has been prescribed by a physician due to the very bad car accident that I had. Prior to that, and my college years, never have I ever wanted to try marijuana. Back in my day, it was more like PCP, angel dust, you know, spray paint. They would sniff it out of a brown bag. It was craziness from what I used to see that went on during dorm room parties. But never have I ever been enticed to say, that's what I want as a part of my life. So no, I don't think marijuana would be my drug of choice. I think my drug of choice would be just eating some jelly beans, getting a sugar high, you know, some type of candy. I have a bad addiction with cornstarch. So those type of addictions, you know, I can do those, but I can't do anything that has a chemical that's being produced for medical reasons. They say it's homegrown, but it's mass production of chemicals. Guys, I got a very deep story to share with you when we come back. Let's take a short commercial break.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell a house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors. No home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey guys, and welcome back. You know, that was a really deep conversation. And usually when people need substances to, you know, numb that blind spot in their life, there's a lot of blind spots. And if people are aware, and if you drive, you know, there's a blind spot in the mirror type of thing. It's a spot that you can't see really. You know, you see it, but you don't see it. And it's like people are struggling with being who they are. People don't want anyone to know the real them, the real struggles, the real pains, the real abuse that they've endured over time. And these people are living with this trauma. And a lot of children are living with mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse from their most trusted, and that is their own parents, you know. And years ago, a friend of mine, she actually watched her mother drink herself into a grave. And it's a very sad thing that happened to her. I mean, you would look at her mother, and I mean, this lady was like a, she was more beautiful than Vanessa Williams. But she lived with so much trauma in her life that she passed this trauma down to her children. And my girlfriend lived with that trauma for her whole entire life. And she actually passed that trauma down to her own children, you know, by her drug addiction and not wanting to face the reality of she needed to do better for herself and come clean from the trauma that she went through as a young girl watching her mother basically kill herself, you know, right before her eyes. Her drug addiction led her to selling pills, getting fake prescriptions, down to putting herself in a bad position where she actually threatened, I believe it was a Wawa or a 7-Eleven. She went in and threatened them and said she had a bomb and she was going to blow the place up. And that landed her 17 years in prison due to her drug addiction. Now, you know, with her children out here with no one, you know, one of her children actually committed suicide as a teenager, as a young man at the age of 16 years old. Very sad story. And it's very heartbreaking to really talk about it because she was a great person, you know? And she let this opioid alcoholism, and, you know, as the gentleman said, sometimes people need a little weed, you know, to calm them down. But I had to watch my friend endure all of these different drugs to mask her real problems in life. And a lot of that had to do with her past childhood trauma. It's a very sad thing when a child has to either attempt or succeed at taking their own life because they have no outlet except the verbal abuse of your entrusted parent that is supposed to love you. And when you confront the parent, you know, it could be a friend, it could be a family member, trying to make them, you know, man up, let's say, man up to who you really are. The problem is everybody wants to keep family secrets. They don't want anybody to know that their household is dysfunctional. That's like my friend. She didn't want anyone to know that she had this backstory of a dysfunctional household. She even made her kids hide the fact of who their mother really was. You know, don't say this around people. Don't say that. Be careful. Don't say that, because then people will know that we're really who we don't want them to know who we are. When it comes to children pretending that their parents are not alcoholics, not drug addicts, pill poppers, weed heads, even though weed is considered legal, it's still a chemical imbalance in the brain. Because if you need something to make you sane and make you feel whole, you really need to take a real good look at yourself. And you really need to question yourself. Why do you need to take something to make you feel some kind of other way? You know, I tell you, I've met people of all walks of life, and I've met a lot of weirdos in my life. I'm not going to exclude anybody out of this conversation. I met a guy many, many years ago who was a weed smoker. And this is before marijuana was legalized. And he had to have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner before he could function. When I found that out, I said, this is not the type of person that I want to hang out with, because I get to pick and choose on the company I want to keep. And he was not my type of company. And in the beginning, he tried to keep it hid of who he really was. But eventually, guys, the truth always comes out of who you really are. Even though you want to keep that little secret hid about your drug abuse, your drug usage, it always comes out. It's only but for so long you can hide certain things about who you really are. And when people find out who you really are because you put this big mask on, you know, and I've been to some churches, guys, where I see the masks go on, you know, the masks go on. And I see why a lot of people say, I don't want to go to that church anymore, because I found out who this person really was, and I don't even want to be around that person, because you get to see the real person without the mask anymore. they have a tendency to reveal themselves. And like that young man revealed himself to me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I made the executive decision as an adult that that's not the company I want to keep. And parents that are listening today, you have to be very careful on the company that you allow your children to keep. My baby girl is 18 years old, and I still verify the company that she keeps. If the parents are not good in that household, why would I want my kid hanging out with a dysfunctional child and their family members? Some things have to make sense. Because if you're dealing with a dysfunctional household within yourself, and then now you got your kid dealing with a dysfunctional household, where do you think that's going to land your kid? Your kid is going to be ready to jump off the nearest building, the tallest building, and end it all for you and them. And like, thanks, parents, for doing such a great job in making a great selection of who you allowed me to hang out with. If you have your children grounded, they already know right from wrong. But if you're allowing certain elements to be in their presence, because my mom hangs out with these kind of people, I don't see anything dysfunctional. Oh, my dad hangs out with this kind of guy. He's all the way dysfunctional. So my friend's dad is the same way. So this is normal for me. This is normal behavior. People, grow up mentally. Use your brains. Stop allowing yourself to bring these tyrants into your immediate circle around your children. Oh, hey, this is your uncle so-and-so. We're just going to smoke weed in the backyard and, you know, you could just sniff it from the window up above. Some things you can't have around your children. And people are wondering why these kids are suicidal, why these kids are on drugs. Come on now. You got 12 and 13 year olds out here doing heroin, cocaine. Oh, and don't forget the weed. And then they're drinking. You know, when I was in college, we called it getting drunk. Now it's called hazing. Open up your mouth. Let me just keep pouring it down and see how I can intoxicate you so we can do something stupid and take pictures. Not knowing that you're actually going to kill the person and be charged later on. Parents eventually send their kids off to college. You have to prepare them mentally for these things. And it's not as simple as a child going out there and threatening to take their lives, going into the psych hospital. This is real. This is real. Because people think that what they do in their juvenile life, as far as mental capacity, will not follow them. Let me shake the table and wake you up, people. Whatever you do mentally, if you attempt to say, I'm going to kill myself, if you do an act of terrorism as a juvenile, it's never going to disappear. That mental record will be with you for the rest of your life. It's not like a criminal, okay, you got in trouble as a juvenile. Your adult record is not going to show up. We can keep that hid. We can get that expunged. Your mental record will follow you for the rest of your life because they will look and they will say, this person has had mental trauma at the age of 14. And we have to not let him, you know, be allowed because he may still have that issue or they may take you through a series of mental capacity exams to see how competent you are as far as your ability to be a thinker. Are we going to hire this person? They're going to come blow the place up or shoot, you know, somebody up because they can't get along. What about the UPS guy that got He failed on his driving evaluation. He went back up and I think it was UPS or FedEx. Went back up, killed the guy that gave him the bad write-up. They didn't know in his childhood age, at 15, he was in the mental institution because he wanted to kill his family. So now all of this comes out. It all comes out. But they figured, let's give him a shot. And look what happened. So now this situation makes it horribly bad for the next kid looking to get a job. And it's a man of color. So that's really going to be harder. Guys, just bringing mental illness as awareness and some of the triggers that can lead these kids to feeling depressed and alone. Parents need to stop beating them up with verbal abuse, mental abuse. Not so much physical. Physical, the scars, they'll get past that. The verbal, those verbal scars are dug deep in the skin. No matter how you want to put a Band-Aid on them and clean up that wound, bandage it up, those wounds, those verbal scars will live in the back of their brain forever. You'll never be able to clean up that scar that you created in that child's brain, that they're nothing. Treating them like they're garbage. And they came from you. They're a product of you. That verbal abuse is really child abuse. And you think you can go back and you can clean up the mess you made by giving this child all of that verbal abuse. Well, parent, I got something to tell you. You're wrong. And those are the parents with the mental illness that can never be cured because they're fighting their own demons. And they're suffering inside from their past trauma that they never got help for. So they have no other way out except to abuse because they were abused. And the child feels like, I have no other choice but to love my abuser. They don't understand. You know, and to make it up, they'll go buy them things, give them money, make everything great again, give them their favorite meal, take them out to eat. And then it goes back to the regular abuse again. This is worse than the sexual predators out here today. That verbal abuse that leads these kids down the road to say, I want to end it all because I just can't take it anymore. And the toxic relationships that these parents decide to stay in, allowing the abuse to continue. Some people just don't know how to walk away. And I call it being weak. You're a weak individual. Because if you get to live through that type of verbal trauma, what do you have to say for yourself? You want to call yourself a man or a woman because you sit there and you take abuse? Think about it. Your parents carried you for 9 months to be abused by someone else that you know you're being abused by. You know, they always say, the abused runs back to the abuser because that's all they're ever going to know in their whole entire life. And it's nothing they can do about it. If they don't know anything outside of that abuse, what else do they have to live for but being abused some more? Guys, I'd like to thank you all for joining in. We have a little over 13.5 million listeners from the East Coast to the West Coast. Guys, next week, we got some really good stuff to talk about. Can't wait for you guys to come back on. It's going to be juicy. Tommy Torres signing off. Same bat time, same bat channel. Bye, guys.
It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres.